of our brothers have down south. How about this? By the grace of God, I'm going to break up this message in two parts. We will do the second week's time, so there will be no one falling out of the balcony dying today. That's a reference from the book of Acts. For that reason, we're going to have the kids in church today, because we're going to keep this simple and short, something that anybody of all ages could understand. And we'll hear part one of a very shortened message, because my house shall be a house of prayer, recognizing God's grace in my life. This is really important. Recognizing, do I have attention yet? Recognizing God's grace. It's not by, but it's by, not by strength nor by might, but it's by my spirit. So we must ask for God to do what only God can do. Father, I simply come before your people, desiring to bring forth your word in a way that would teach, edify, build them up. So when they leave this place, Father, they're strengthened in the power of the Holy Ghost so that they can show the love of Christ. Need you. And my prayer is always, any lost soul, your word declares, if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you. So Father, we lift up Jesus today. And it's just as you drew me out of my trespasses and sin, as you resuscitated my heart of stone and made it a heart of flesh, I pray any lost soul here today, in Jesus, all God, amen. Amen. Today, recognizing God's grace in my life. And as I considered God's grace in my life, in our lives, the first thing I began to think was a quote by a young 6 year old. Simply, that's not they put that in their life. That's unfair, right? That is, if you will, a six-year-old sense of what's right and what's wrong. And the truth, according to God has said, written his moral law on our hearts. Creation declares the glory of God. So a man without excuse, regardless of where you were born in this world, we're ultimately without excuse. Don't worship and glorify God with our lives. Because it's on our hearts. That's why it doesn't matter if you go to Ethiopia, if you go to Africa, right, to what? Kill. Right? And the reason it's not right is because if I kill another human being who's to God, destroy him. Why do you think the devil comes to kill and destroy? He wants to destroy the very. Now, going through the book of Hosea, so have you ever heard this expression, they can't see the forest through the trees? Anybody heard that one before? I want to simply do a reader's just version of a, to look where we, simply help us to understand 11 of Hosea, but I want to help us to understand to not lose sight of where we've been. In the book of Hosea, very much like our time, he was actually the last prophet who would prophesy to a people right before judgment. Like any of us, we get up and it's not normal, not right, unto a doctor, and the doctor said something be this, and I think it might be that. One day, something. You just sense it in your soul. I'm not in a good place. And you've been ignoring the advice over and over again. You need to really examine what you're eating. You need to examine what your life. You need to examine what you're making. And you go to this last time, it's too late. You are going to die. But this is God. Grace, was created, and you have willingly decided to ignore his grace. Even in his judgment, he still wants to be mercy. Recognizing his grace. Expert and his Lewis.
Is Lewis born at an interesting time? He's an intellectual. And so during the District 2 was going, it was trying to help him to understand, in the midst of all what's going on, there is a God who loves you. And you got to understand, in Europe in that time, they had removed God, who said, that Martin Luther had started. People like Dietrich Bonhoeffer were some of the last reigning people that were, if you will, prophets of their day that were trying to help people see. There's a crazy man story, it's Adolf Hitler, but yet the people ignored the signs. And we have the signs in our day as well. And I'm not going to go into that right now because my hope that we will begin to look at see God's grace in our life. I simply want to quote, he said, so that would help us understand, when we go into the book, the big picture is judgment. And what God was doing through this prophet, he was punishing, if unfaith, I have, use this prophet, a prophet, it would reflect his unfailing love, that even though prostitutes, though you have gone after all four gods, buy you back, I'm still going to offer you redemption. It's here in the book. If you have never really thought about who Jesus Christ is, you're an intellectual. You're a person that thinks you're smarter than God, basically. I would encourage you, I will leave this on the floor. Who takes it? Yours. God will answer our questions. Scarlet, I will turn the light. Listen to this. He says, everyone has heard people quarreling. Sometimes it sounds funny and sometimes it sounds funny. However, we can learn something very listening to the kind of things they say. Say things like, how'd you like? That I was won't do any harm. Should you shove, or why should you shove in first? Give me a bit of your orange. I gave you a bit of mine. On, you promised. People say things like that every day. Educated. And children as well as grown ups. Now, what interests me about all these remarks, is who makes them, is not merely the other man's behavior does not happen to please him. Some kind of standard of behavior which the other man is about. That's the beginning of this book. That's a tough question, but reality that we were created in the image of God. Nice God's grace in my life. When we look at Isaiah, and we're just going to look at the very beginning of this today. If you have your Bible, please turn there. I don't have a PowerPoint today. We'll have it all next week. We'll do a small review. We've got about 15 minutes till noon. I know you guys will be starving. So I'll try to make this short and sweet today. But next week, be prepared. It could be long. Lord wills. You know, it should not be, if you think about the Bible, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, his disciples who had walked with him for 3 years, 3.5 years approximately, he said, could you not tarry with me but 1 hour? Before he would endure the cross and the shame, when he needed someone to comfort his soul, and it says in the Bible he was sweating tears of blood. When his soul was vexed, and he was crying out to the Father, if any other way, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. Even his disciples had a hard time praying for 1 hour. So, it's not surprising. Why are we so tired when we pray? Why do we want to stop so easily? Could it be that is God's power? And Hosea chapter 11. We're just going to look at verses 1 through 4. And today, part 1, I just wanted to simply look at regarding or recognizing God's grace in my life. Now, when God speaks to us, it says all the creation declares the glory of God. God speaks to us in many ways. But when it came to His people and His redemptive love, that means when God would want us to deem us stone and make it a heart of flesh, He wants us to understand, time and time through the prophet, He's trying to say, look at all I've done to show you my love. He does it one more time. He's going to illustrate it through Father. Listen to these words. In Hosea, when He said, child of Egypt, I called my son. So they went from them, they sacrificed to the Baal and incense to carve image. Point number one is it says, I called my son. Now this word here is the word kara in the Hebrew. It means to call. And so with, you remember, while they were in Egypt for over 400 years, they were given over to taskmasters. They were enslaved. But in that situation, God remembered them. And He called them out by name, and He used a mighty man of God named by the name of Moses. He says, He called them out by name. Now, about this, as God's grace in your life. Each of us are busy. Who's busy? Got a huge, crazy schedule. If you're not busy now, you will be. Are you guys busy? You have an appointment at 5 o'clock for our business. Listen, all of you are busy people. You will be busy at some time. But the grace of God is when He meets us in a place and changes our path. They were in bondage, and God were there. I called out to you as a son. Kara said, call you. Now, in the New Testament Gospels, really simply, listen to these words. And Jesus called two brothers. Simon called Peter. He's calling him out. Casting the net to them. Make you fit. They immediately left their nets and followed Him. The grace of God, as we try to recognize it, is first recognized when God an application of this is simply this. God's grace to recognize it in your life when God calls you out by name. Some people in here don't think they need to change direction. Will you recognize God's grace in your life? As they called, they said, reference to is when God was calling them, when He met them, He sent all these prophets to them time and time again, and they were calling out what the prophets were doing. He was trying to call them back to their true love. Call them back to the one God. But the God of this age blinds our minds and our hearts with all the pretty things of this world, the distractions of the world, the success of the world, the lust of the world. I might have to be constantly, by grace, calling out through the prophets. But as He did this, what did they do? They continually walked away. They made excuses. In the New Testament, there's a picture of this. Jesus gave a parable about a marriage feast. And He wanted to send out. But every time He would send them out, they would kill. And so He says, I will send my son to him. What did they do to him? They crucified him. And this is what the term Israel is coming out to you time and time. They went from there and they sacrificed to the Baals. That was a false god of their day. To him about this relationship with them, as a father would to a child, and he says, I taught these three. Told them to recognize this grace in your life. The word taught means to cause to walk. And what God is simply saying is, if anybody raised a little child, little children up on how to walk. You'll watch little children a lot of times stumble and they'll do whatever. He's picturing himself. When I saw you in this state, child, I was a man who came alongside you. And I don't know if you've ever done this, mom or dad or uncle, but you take a little child, you hold my hand, you kind of pull them, trying to get them. They don't have their feet secure, they have muscles strong. But you're taking them in this place where they're truly dependent to walk in there. And God's saying, in your life, why not recognize my God? But I was there. I was there. A lot of times, he was. They went after their own way. It's like this. It's like every baby wants to talk and walk, but you may be that's a great spot. It'd be like me going to get free. That's it. It's my own intellectual time. It's my own free. That's what else is good. Like mended my from my knees every time I fell. And what God tells me to work in your life, I was extending my grace to you time and time again. But they did not know, they did not acknowledge it was really God extending his grace to you. And because I drew them with bands of love, I takes the yoke from the neck, and I know this probably doesn't make sense to us in our day, but you got to understand, these people were an agricultural people. They worked with their hands. They planted, they sowed. That was their life. They lived and breathed it. To help them see, there's, look, I've never been in the field, but what they would do, they would put a yoke on their different animals. They had domesticated, okay? And the yoke in their mouth, okay? Okay? And sometimes the boundaries God has set in our boundaries, the things that we think, this is not fun, I want to do it my way. Different yoke. Give us boundaries. Understand? So we ourselves. God said, I. What he's talking about is a simple probe. He said, I went down to you in your struggle, in your bondage. You might not experience the bondage yet, but if sin left unchecked, all sin will be dead. In our bondages, through our choices, what we've done else, and the master of this world, I need more success. This next person you meet, they'll make you happy. He keeps offering more and more, but we're just sitting like oxen in the field. Was going down, and while you were in that place, came along your path. I removed that painful yoke that you, and I wasn't that. I stooped down to Jesus, and that's why Jesus said, the application of these three verses are very simple. God's grace, first of all, changes the direction I was heading. Secondly, he gives me the ability to walk through the trials. Thirdly, grace has the ability or power to remove my painful clothes. Now what? Let's find out how to do it. But I will say this, if you find yourself in another state, another place, you can't listen to the rest of the message. That's the beauty of modern technology. It will be recorded. And if you want to know now what, take a few minutes, go to our website, listen to the second part of the message. Father, I thank you for your grace, and thank you for throughout my life. I touch, I move, I guide myself. The word says, the steps of the righteous Lord by you. So I even know that there's things I go and pray for that. Thank you for opening that door. Thank you for teaching me to have that heart for them. I pray, Father, you do a miracle in your life. So, Father, as we go from this place, my prayer is today that if nothing else, we would reflect upon all the people place through grace. God's children said, amen. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I want to do one thing. Originally, I would have recorded this message. Brother Gary, come on up here. You go, what? I was keep on speaking. My intention originally was to preach a message that's probably about another 45 minutes. I just want to give you grace so you'll be ready next week alert. After that message, I was going to ask Gary to speak over to God. I simply want God to speak over to God. Please place those. Amen.